Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Hour 5 G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Jake's in Fort Worth, the venue for tonight's Fan Phenom, the dining room populating a little bit more with a fan host hopefuls. And Boss Man Spittle's going to be here. You want to bring the heat here this evening. And that's something that we'd love to see the Texas Rangers do. This time is running out. Three games below 500, they are. And heading to St. Louis for a weekend of baseball. Hopefully they do a little bit better. Here's Wolchuk with some more baseball.
All righty. So Chris Martin, we got some good news there. He is making progress towards a return. He has not pitched since July 21st. He had that left calf strain. So he took fielding practice yesterday. No issues pushing off the leg. He's expected to throw light bullpen. He threw that earlier today. Live batting practice session there on Saturday. And if all of that clears, then he'll be headed to Round Rock, I assume, for his rehab. And that bullpen, man, I mean, they are, you're starting to see the fatigue a little bit. I thought Jacob Latz was brilliant last night, stepping up. But today, I mean, it was unfortunate for Webb, who gets recalled off of the IL, and then boom, you know, he had a tough outing today. So Rangers bullpen hoping to get some reinforcements. And we just finished, we mentioned this a month ago, Dallas Morning News put out the bracket, best Rangers regular season moment of all time. And the winner of the bracket, knocking off Kenny Rogers' perfect game in the final, was the 2 seed, the Rangers clinching their first AL West title in 1996. That ended up beating out the number one overall seed, which was the Kenny Rogers' perfect game. So pretty incredible. Rangers won in that, and very emotional. And I get it. Like, anytime, first time you're going to the postseason, yeah, that's going to be up there. I mean, for me, Game 2 of the 2010 ALCS, I got to be there, and it was their first ever championship series win. They beat the Yankees to even up the series at 1, obviously en route to their first ever American League pennant. So, I mean, selfishly, that's probably my favorite Rangers regular season memory, Colby Lewis getting the win that day. But I can understand the 1996 AL West pennant.
Yeah, you know, that was before I got here, before I was a Ranger fan covering the team. So, you know, for me, I would say you want to talk about an incredible moment, Cliff Lee's first game. Even though he did not get the win, I think it was against the Orioles right before the All-Star break. And I went to the, you know, old ballpark that night, and the buzz was just intense, you know, because they've been playing well, but once they got Cliff Lee, it really felt like it, and that was a special night.
It was.
Josh Hamilton 4-home-run game, you know, some that maybe didn't mean that much in the context of contending. But, yeah, that must have been amazing in 96 to clinch a playoff spot for the first time. I could see how that could win.
Real actual reporting here, Clarence Hill saying that David Mulugeta tells him that he did not tell Jerry Jones to stick it up as you know what.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
Said that didn't happen.
He might have been being a bit hyperbolic with the way he painted that picture.
A little paraphrasing there from Jer Bear.
Yeah.
Wasn't quite how it went, but that was that's an amazing tweet right there. Shout out to the LLS, just getting it done at a very high level.
Well, Jerry knew it was getting boring, so it was time to, you know, juice it,
spice
just a
it
little
up
bit.
A little bit. Spice it up.
He's telling you his game plan.
Man, and you know, one of my, so I finished last night with the Netflix docuseries, and it is really good. I kind of wonder, is Jerry about to put himself in the Ring of Honor?
What makes you say that?
I just got that vibe. Like, it ends with him and Jimmy, and, like, it was way over, long overdue, and he puts Jimmy into the Ring of Honor, and, you know, he's talking about what it means, and he was left with that responsibility, and, you know, all the players that should be. And obviously, Jerry, he should be. I mean, he for 30 years owning the team, I get it. I mean, he won 3 Super Bowls, but it did in some way. Like, I don't think that he doesn't want to not get in while he's still here and alive. And there was a little bit of talk, like Steven's getting choked up, talking about, like, well, what's the succession plan? And he doesn't even want to go there. He just wants to enjoy the time with his dad while he still has it. And I understand that. I asked him last when we were at Buffalo Wild Wings, like, do you envision yourself also being a general manager? And he gave a similar answer. But I just kind of thought that maybe this is what we're about to get, is Jerry's going to be going into the ring. And it is a little bit weird when you're putting yourself in, but I think he wants to be here for that.
Arthur Blank did it, didn't he?
He did.
I don't think I'd want to put myself in, but I think Jerry's a different cat when it comes to that. Be really interesting to see how he handles it, and it would not surprise me at all. But I think what you said there is what I'm thinking, is that it would just be kind of weird and self-serving, and I don't know if that would be the best way to do it. I think it'd be a great way to remember him, well into the future.
Trade proposals. Go for it.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, though. If they know he's going to go in, does he have to have it now? I think the thing I would worry about is all of a sudden you schedule this thing for like a November day. You put, like, we're going to do this like a November game, and say the team's not good.
Yeah.
That right there is a big
kick. That's a great point. Like, let him go win the Super Bowl again. Do it the year after that.
To me, you're right.
When the hell is that happening?
No, 30 years, you're right. Know? But I just wonder if it's one of those things that if your team, it's very reminiscent of the whole Emmitt Smith breaking the rushing record thing, and it was, we lost the Seahawks, we were a terrible team. That should have been something great. That should have been, like, historic, and it was historic. But how it all went down, it's kind of like, we suck.
Yeah, you wish that could have been.
And we had a terrible offensive line, and, he had to fight for every yard he got. And it just, when it happened, it was so, all right, great, it's over, But because we were so bad.
Yeah.
And I wonder if, in fact, that he might be worried a little bit. If you get into November and the team is not doing well, and then he's standing up there, putting on the Navy jacket and waving to everybody, and players, Michael and Troy, and everybody's there, and
I get what you're saying. How long do you have to wait? Nothing's promised to us, right?
It doesn't, for him, it doesn't matter, because he knows he's going to go in one way or another.
Yeah, but he wants to be there and experience that.
I think the most important thing he was put in was the Hall of Fame. That he experienced. I think the Ring of Honor stuff is nice, but I don't...
Seemed like a pretty big deal to him, just hearing him talk about it.
It's a big thing, but you also got to know that when you're standing on that field and your team could potentially be 3-10...
Yeah, I just, like, even looking back at the Emmitt thing, like, I was well aware they stunk, but we were awful. We're not thinking about the game.
That should have been about that Seattle game. That should have been one of the great moments in Cowboy history, and it was a footnote to a team that was just god awful.
The team was really bad. It still is one of the great moments in Cowboys history, though.
But the vibes would be off right now. Like, you can't do it right now. You're talking about maybe at some point in the next 5 years. I could see that when the team's, winning more, and the fans aren't mad about a player holdout.
I think it's just a matter of time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying maybe that he's going to announce that November.
Not like today. You let this play out, but, I mean, as early as next season?
I could see it.
I would make sure that my team's not a bag of ass.
I don't know. There's no way to guarantee that.
Well, he can probably have a better feeling that he's down all these cornerbacks, and he's got his best guy maybe signed up to play the games, and I don't know. I mean, like I said, I just kind of feel like that it would be
a little less off-season drama.
What year did Emmitt do that?
2002. Yeah, it was his last year with the team.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it was 21-14 Seattle won that. That was also the Darren Woodson biggest hit I've ever seen in my life. Darryl Jackson.
Gosh.
Holy crap, that was insane. Bleacher Report has put out trade proposals for every team, and some of these involve our Dallas Cowboys, one of which would be the Baltimore Ravens calling up about Brock Hoffman. Baltimore says, hey, we'll give you a 7th for Brock Hoffman. Now, I'm saying absolutely not.
Me too.
I think Brock Hoffman is worth more than a 7. I think he could be a borderline starter.
Who's this coming
for you
from?
Bleacher Report.
Okay.
But you are talking about an undrafted free agent. He lost the starting job for you. I think oftentimes us as fans probably don't know, like, the true value for certain players. So maybe that is Hoffman's value, but I would say I'd rather keep him on my team and take a seventh-round pick.
100%, dude. There's no way. If they want to do like a player swap with one of their defensive tackles after seeing them in the preseason, we know that they have quite the laundry list of guys there on the defensive line. If you want to do a player swap there, fine. But I don't think a seventh-round pick is going to help me more than Brock Hoffman is.
We also had people calling up possibly Miles Sanders. Saw that on CBS Sports today. There are several teams that are hunting running backs right now. And maybe if the Cowboys are moving on from Miles Sanders, I didn't even think this was a possibility, but could you end up trading Miles Sanders for, say, a late day three pick as well? You got Cleveland, Kansas City, and New Orleans, all according to The Athletic, that are hunting runners. Obviously, those teams probably in the mix on Brian Robinson Jr. as well. But Antonio Gibson of the Patriots was listed, and so was Miles Sanders of your Dallas Cowboys, along with Travis Etienne of the Jags, as possible running backs the teams could inquire about.
No, I would take a sixth-round pick for him.
I'd take the seventh for him. He's not on my roster anyway.
Don't get me wrong. I would do the seventh as well.
Yeah. Now, this was also a weird one because I haven't followed his career as much, but if you need a cornerback, the Broncos calling you and saying, hey, we'll give you Riley Moss, because they did just draft Jahdae Barron. And Riley Moss started last year for them opposite PS2 for a sixth-round pick. We'll give you Riley Moss. Thought that was interesting. I'd have to go and look a little bit more at how he is in Denver. But if you want another guy that's been a starting corner in the NFL, that's a name that possibly you could get for a day three selection per Bleacher Report. And then the Cowboys trade proposal, it is Micah Parsons. Now, I don't want to do this because I don't want to be trading him to the Green Bay Packers. But this trade would be Micah to Green Bay for Rashawn Gary, who is definitely better than Lucas Van Ness. Rashawn Gary is a pretty damn good player.
Michigan guy, right?
Yeah.
Yes, Michigan guy.
Maybe get the Michigan guy right there.
But he's a Michigan guy that we know has been good in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
2026 first and third, and a 2027 second and fourth. One, that's not enough for me. I still want three ones, especially if I'm trading him to the Packers. But I don't want to trade him to Green Bay anyway. But that was the Cowboys trade proposal, courtesy of Bleacher Report. But I am interested in some of these other teams calling about Jalen Tolbert, who possibly could be on the market, and teams need a wide receiver. You just had the Chiefs trading Sky Moore away to San Francisco, and San Francisco is so depleted right now at wide receiver. Just had DeMarcus Robinson get a suspension. The health right now of some of their guys is very up in the air. They don't think Brandon Ayuk's going to be back until week six. So, hey, for a San Francisco team, I want to stink. That's great news, but there are teams that are looking for receivers and runners. Maybe the Cowboys get into the mix there trading some of their guys.
I just, you know, keep coming back to the idea of what Stephen Jones told you guys, or told Brian and Oxnard. I forget which one it was, but the idea we got to do something different.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want to continue to manage the cap the way that you are, I think the something different could easily be, when we're not that great, how about we look to trade players for future picks? And when we're really, really good, we trade future picks for players. And that way we can continue to manage the cap, but you could ride the talent wave a little bit more and try to jump in there with extra guys on rookie contracts. I think that's a path to the Super Bowl. Like, if Stephen Jones is genuinely wearing it, oh, my goodness, everywhere I go, people are reminding me it's 30 years, but we got to manage the cap like this. There's no way we're buckling. Okay, there's other ways to get it done where you can manage the cap very conservatively, but you got to, you know, take bigger swings in some other way. And I think it's, you know, trading right now, will Micah Parsons still be in his prime when you do have a roster good enough to contend? You don't know. You know, to me, it looks like minimum two good drafts, and maybe you got one out of the way here. We'll see. It looks like Ezra Raku's pretty good, and we'll see with Booker and Revel. But if you get those three, then next year, could you find running back, defensive tackle, and a beast of a young linebacker? And now I can maybe start to see it a little bit if you get healthy at corner. But that's assuming a lot. That's like answers on five good young players that you got to get to. So until you see that coming into focus, let's be flexible and let's, you know, borrow some of that wisdom from the Rams. You don't got to go all in and say bleep them picks, but I think you got to dabble a little bit in this world, and, you know, maybe we'll be heading there as this continues to play out. Fascinating developments today on Micah Parsons, Jerry Jones on the Michael Irvin press conference, or the Michael Irvin podcast. And we talked about that in the 5 o'clock hour. What's coming up next, Chief?
Football and crash outs. That's what America...
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
Good does.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We're live. Jake's in Fort Worth. Fan Phenoms coming up at 7 o'clock. Jake's isn't just in the neighborhood. They're a huge part of it, showing up for the causes close to your heart. And salute to Jake's for sponsoring our Fan Phenom event. We'll be at Jake's once a week here for the foreseeable future as we identify the next great fan host. It's time for a sports hodgepodge with the Chief. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Woo! Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas, Eric.
We have some all-time crash outs to address here in just a moment, but we start in the world of football. The No Fun League strikes again. It looks like the NFL says sportsmanship is a point of emphasis for NFL officials this season. We're going to get a lot more unsportsmanlike penalties.
Yeah.
The quote, there's no place in the game to be standing over your opponent. There's no place in the game to have violent gestures. That's not the game of football.
But it's a violent game, Eric.
It is.
So
it,
what they're doing on the field is... is finable and is flaggable?
Yeah, I guess the whole sport, every play should result in a flag,
right?
Because it's unsportsmanlike to tackle another human being.
I mean, that's violence.
I mean, Ashton Jeanty should be getting a flag on every single play with the way that he's demonstrating his skill set, just truck sticking dudes. That's just not fair.
It's not fair. We can't be stiff-arming. We can't be running over a mofo's face over and over again. That is going to be a personal foul.
I mean, running angry.
Dude.
Hitting people.
What
Brian,
a hypocrisy the National violent. Football League is. Unbelievable.
It is true, though, because when you think about like the disgusting act years and years and years ago in the NBA when a guy like Allen Iverson stepped over Tyronn Lue, and we were all just so disgusted by that.
So bad.
And the only way we talk about it now is just because we can't believe the NBA tolerated it.
No, it's vulgar as hell.
It was a bygone era, thankfully.
Really, really going to tick me off when a guy makes a great play, gets up a little bit excited. Excuse him for being excited.
No.
All he does is just dedicate his life to making plays on the football field at the height of the sport where it's extremely difficult to do. He's going to get a little bit too excited. Is that what's going to happen? And then, boom, you're going to dock me 15 yards?
Yep.
You don't dock me 15
hey,
yards for getting excited.
You need to maintain your composure, all right? You're a professional. Act like it. Act like you've been there before.
Unbelievable.
We're going to love it, though, when it happens for the Cowboys, though. And, like, somebody pops up, and it's a they throw that screen out in the flat.
You know what's going to happen? It's going to be the one game-winning George Pickens touchdown.
Pickens.
He's going to end up like, hold my knee, and then the next thing you know, he's going to get flagged.
Does he do the hold your knee thing?
Yeah, I think I could see him doing it.
He demonstrated that.
Just throwing that one out there.
It's going to be one of those plays that's going to be called. Seriously, it's going to be a flat pass for -5. And they're going to cheer, and we're all going to be like, yeah, get him!
Get him! He can't do that.
That was disgusting what he just did.
Unsportsmanlike conduct, number 55, 15-yard penalty, first down, you know. We're going to love that. So
yeah, we're doing a real live radio show right now. This is on the air, sir.
Pretty amazing stuff
here.
It's pretty
crazy.
It is amazing.
Shout out to Browns for being glass half full on this, though. Lucius Alexander.
Hey, if you watch that Jerry Jones documentary, bro, and they introducing Jimmy Johnson and Michael Irvin, and they show that Miami squad. Okay, there was cats getting knocked out on the field, and the Miami dudes were just doing hump dances as these fools was on the ground. Like,
Got him.
Crazy.
We got him.
That's what they did?
They were straight hump dances, bro.
And they weren't just doing the three pump stuff. It was 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 double-digit pumps at one point, I counted.
We don't know if the guy on the ground's got a concussion, a tibia broken, or anything. We're just doing hump dances. Got you.
Right.
That entire team leaves in handcuffs if they're playing in the NFL these days. I mean, that's basically what the NFL is talking about right now.
Yeah,
it's disgusting what the NFL is doing.
There's a crackdown on humping, and there's a crackdown on – I think players have now officially lost their fight with the gun gestures.
Yeah, okay, so I did get an update on this. So we talk about, like, the arrow thing.
Like you pull an arrow out
we
of your back.
Do an arrow.
Bang. Okay, so here's the deal. You can't aim it at anybody. If they're doing what they call a like a Cupid arrow, where maybe you're sending it off into the heavens a little bit at a touchdown celebration.
That's Cupid, Cooks,
that's
right?
fine. So it's all about the launch angle.
The
okay?
Cooks,
okay?
The archer. Yeah.
Archer.
Good to know.
We're bringing the launch angle into the NFL as it pertains to the arrow celebrations.
This
okay,
is too you
aim
much
that
to
puppy.
Keep up with.
Aim that puppy down. That's a flag.
So can I go sniper into the air?
See, I don't know if you can go. I don't know if you
I
can
think guns are
it.
Off limits. I, Ja Morant just totally crushed that for everybody.
Well, you had a couple. I'll tell you what. Crazy. The college football. I don't know if the. I don't know how. I can't remember the NFL, but I remember last year specifically. The freaking Gamecocks, and they got edge rushers galore.
Oh,
defensive
Dylan
line.
Stewart. Remember
when?
Remember the name Dylan Stewart. Ladies
okay,
and gentlemen.
I'm bookmarking that name right now. There was a Gamecock.
There, he's really not.
There was a Gamecock who.
My guy will.
He sacks the quarterback, and then he gets up as if he has like a AR-15 yeah. of sorts, oh. and then just aims it at the quarterback who yeah. just got hammered onto the ground. And he's like shaking his body, you know. And so,
gyrating.
That's teaching tape for what not to do. But I'm sure we're going to be pretty ticked off on a Cowboys Monday with a couple of ridiculous unsportsman likes. Thanks, Roger.
It's for us.
Yeah, but
unless somebody does it against us and then it's first down.
Yeah, but when it happens to us, it's going to allow us to lose like 28-21 instead of 28-14.
There,
you know what I mean?
Pipe down.
Okay, congratulations. Seriously, this is exciting.
Let's welcome Jerry Jones to the Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
that's going to happen no matter what.
We go to halftime and the Cowboys are down 34-10. But stick around for the Jerry Ring of Honor celebration.
Let's go to the field and Christy Scales. Christy, go for it.
Right? Christy, take it over. Thank you.
Is Tyler Bucker playing tonight, Christy? Okay.
He's not in uniform, Eric.
Big time. Congratulations. I thought you said Tyler Smith. No, I didn't. I wasn't listening.
You really weren't listening. What were you doing?
I was gloating in the fact that we were 1-for-1 with Sham.
Let's see what tailgate party I want to be at. Somebody's cooking some dino ribs.
Sham. He's probably talking with Tolos.
No, he was. People were putting menu items in and stuff like that.
Doesn't have that excuse. You're talking to Babe.
I was basking in the ambiance of not having Brad Sham shark my face off in the first interview of the season, okay? And I got ahead of myself.
Back to you, Eric, you idiot.
That is quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm proud of myself.
I'm proud of C.J. Stroud right now because he's officially been given the opportunity to be a real-life NFL quarterback. Can you believe that? Only took him 2 seasons of football.
We're playing him. Preseason week 3? What are we doing?
No, what he's allowed to do this now.
Oh, call his own place?
Steven Ruiz of the Ringer got a nice little C.J. Stroud article up, and one of the things that he points out there is that for the first time in C.J. Stroud's NFL career, he will be able to get this, change protections, and audible at the line of scrimmage.
Well, not everybody's allowed to do that now.
I mean, what? I don't understand. In what world? Like Bobby Slowick, first of all, Bobby Slowick just lost his job. Yeah. There's a reason for that. Because from the sideline, he didn't know what the hell he was doing. Okay? And so I understand
maybe not day one. We kind of liked Bobby at one time, didn't we?
Yeah, he's a hypocrite. He loved Bobby. Now he hates Bobby.
I thought so.
There's a lot of things we like. And then, I mean, heck, Walchuk
never evolved.
Walchuk didn't like C.J. Stroud. And now all of a sudden, C.J. Stroud's the man.
Now I've got him in my top 10.
Walchuk believed in Dak.
Yeah, I mean, Broaddus was a Will Levis guy. We don't talk about it, okay? We don't talk about it.
That's my guy, okay? Don't talk about him like that.
There's plenty of things we like, and then we learn more.
Clear.
We realize we were wrong, and that's how I am on Bobby Slowick.
We just admit we were wrong, and we move on. But, like, Bo Nix, that guy shouldn't have the ability to go ahead and audible. I want to stick with whatever Sean Payton's calling.
There are outlier situations. When you have a Sean Payton, Super Bowl champion, guy who knows what he's doing, one of the best offensive minds in the league, who has to basically be a babysitter for his quarterback and throw nothing but line of scrimmage throws and pray to God one of his skill players can go make a play. That's a different deal. Is C.J. Stroud Bo Nix? I would say no. I think we learned C.J. Stroud wasn't Bo Nix in the first 5 seconds of his rookie year. Now all of a sudden in year 3, they're like, go be an NFL quarterback now. I think that's going to be a good thing.
Maybe
for a team
good at audible.
For a team that was consistently just getting sacked and the pressures, and it's like, well, because C.J. Stroud's going, I'm not allowed to do anything.
Maybe they'll win that first Saturday playoff game that they've lost for the last 4 years.
The noon kick.
they won it last year because Justin Herbert's so bad.
I think that was the case with last year?
Oh, that's right, they did. Okay,
I think that was the case with Dak Prescott till about the end of year 3. You get Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is confused as to why they're not changing the route at the line. That was the story, right? And Amari Cooper had to convince Dak, next time they give us this look, please change the play. I'm going to score a touchdown. Dak's like, dude, I just run what Linehan says here. You know, and I think around the time, Brian told us a story that Sean Payton was jealous because he had a quarterback in Dallas that wasn't audibling out of everything. Because what will happen is quarterbacks will start audibling into nonstop passes. They're neglecting the run game. You know, and I think with a young quarterback, you know, that was the case with Jared Goff with McVay. So I would be curious to see how common that is and how, like, overwhelming it is for a young quarterback to try to get set pre-snap.
Well, for the Cowboys, it was Travis Frederick. In that Wall 2.0 that just came out, Frederick would be overriding Romo and Dak's calls and the coaching staff's calls. And, hey, eventually Romo just said, I trust you. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Dak, same thing. But sometimes it is the center if you trust the center.
Huh. Yeah, but we know the Texans, not really anybody on that offensive line you can trust, right?
Right. Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, so let's get to the crash outs. Did you know, Broadus? Because this was news to me last night as I was watching episode 2 of the Cowboys documentary.
So you're saying I have to watch this thing?
That when Charles
you
Haley
should watch it, you're gonna love it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. When Charles Haley was with the Niners, he wanted a trade so bad that he went into the general manager's office and then took a leak on his desk
John
and said,
McVay. Yeah.
"Trade me."
Yeah.
That's all time
and punched the head coach.
And I haven't even.
He punched George, George Seifert.
Yes.
George Seifert.
I'm surprised.
Turned to dust.
I'm surprised he survived that.
Yeah.
Charles Haley is amazing. I love listening to him talk on this documentary. The self-awareness is so real with him.
Probably like, it right
is. Now. It's like, dude, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, everything that I said probably was wrong, but whatever, you know?
I mean, I think that's just scratching the surface with some of the stuff Charles Haley pulled off to throughout his career.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, the amount of stories that we probably don't know about Charles. Like, Michael Irvin's on there going like, hey, you guys are doing this documentary. There's a lot of crazy personalities and things like that. No one is on the same tier as Charles Haley, who talks about having three different personalities and the rage that would build up inside him and how he had no ability to control it and really no desire to. I mean, a truly, truly frightening human being. And now he's singing happy birthday at the fine to the fine Charlotte Jones. You know, what a turnaround.
It's a testament to probably his hard work and some help from, you know, different medical industries and pharmaceuticals that he's so functional
Eli
as he
Lilly.
Is today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. So that's, I would call it crash out number one. That's a legendary story from Charles Haley. Then today you get the news. I'm not even going to say the NBA player's name because it's really not fair to him. But there's an NBA player whose dad went scorched in a parking lot due to a door ding situation. It's a door ding situation. Apparently the dad here who ends up totally crashing out is the one that dinged the door. Now he's in a verbal spat with the guy. And then they get into a bit of an altercation, and then bam, stabs him multiple times.
The dinger was also the stabber.
The dinger was
dinger
the stabber.
Was the stabber.
There's no recovering from this in front of a judge.
Yeah,
no way. No, especially when you hear the graphic details of like witnesses saying like they saw the guts of guy like coming out, and he's in critical condition now and all that kind of stuff.
Ooh.
Really, really bad situation. Andy Reid, we found out today in 2024, almost got struck by gunfire at the Chiefs facility.
Yeah, this is a crazy story.
He's in his office, and then, pew, bullet comes and hits the wall or whatever. He's totally fine. They don't think anybody was aiming it at him necessarily. It was just, you know, shots fired, gone awry, and it hits the facility. So now he's got, like, bulletproof glass around his office, and I'm assuming throughout the facility they probably have to deal with that a little bit more now.
Okay, a couple of thoughts on that. Number one, do we know the date on that and where Hagee was on that particular time?
That's a good question. This might have been during the Germany trip.
Does he really – he hates Andy, right?
Yeah, he does.
He hates Andy?
He thinks he's a bad person and a bad father.
He thinks the Chiefs organization just
covered up his son's crime.
Okay.
And then number two, you know, this was probably over 10 years ago, right, Lucius? Matt Stack's office kind of got shot up. Was that down on 5 or was that 10?
Sure was. Yeah. It was all over the news, man.
Yeah. Yeah, 75 and Fitzhugh took some gunfire.
Yeah, somebody rolled by and gave a pow, pow to the station.
Which is wild.
Was it? So that wasn't shots awry? That wasn't intentional? Do we know?
I mean, maybe they were just shooting to shoot and our building happened to be in the way.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't like some of our promotions.
Yeah, that's what
Matt threw a hell of a party.
That's what Matt said. Matt said, yeah, I'm pretty sure they were trying to shoot me. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, Matt.
Taking over DFW radio promotions.
Bro.
Nobody throws a party like me. Too much of a threat to iHeart.
You also have, how about this for a headline here? Pro Football Talk, Texan safety Jimmy Ward has been sued by the mother of his 3-year-old child for an alleged meth-fueled physical and sexual assault.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
yeah, it's messed up.
Wow, bro.
What are we doing?
Jimmy Ward.
Went full Diddy.
With a little meth action going on.
He's being sued and not arrested?
I think he's already been arrested.
Yeah, he's been arrested twice.
Okay.
Just recently. Okay. And now the suing is, I think he's got a criminal suit and a civil suit that he's now
it's
in the
really,
midst of.
Really, really bad.
Mm. And apparently a meth problem.
Thoughts
and a
prayers.
Meth problem. No question.
Full plate.
And everybody's trying to figure out what happened to Lil Nas X, who was hospitalized after being found half naked roaming the L.A. streets in a very bizarre video.
He was straight up whitey tidying.
He's got
up and down
the white
LA.
The white cowgirl boots and the whitey tidies. And that's it.
It's quite the image.
And I can't tell if it's he's promoing something for interest or if he really like smoked something and got out there, got turned out.
You get into the bath salts?
I would think, because the only thing that gets you like naked like that is
tequila.
Angel dust.
Oh.
When you get dusty like that, you'll get a little naked, start walking the groove. You know? And that's what he was doing. But, you know, you never know with him because, you know, he'll pull some antics. So I don't know if he's off into the drugs and he hit the blade or whatever. Because, you know, it happens with people. Martin Lawrence, one time out there in L.A., lost his mind in traffic. And I think he was, like, waving guns and whatnot. Blue Cantrell, who's connected to Jay-Z. She's got a pretty cool song back in the day. She took off all her clothes, got butt naked in the middle of traffic. So it happens. But
hell yeah.
I don't know, bro.
That's great. I guess it's a new game we could play. Crash Out or Roll Out?
Yeah!
Yes! Crash Out or Roll Out.
That is so
I like
good.
It.
That's good.
That is strong. Yes, that's good radio instincts there from Eric Giafalo. And maybe that explains, Wolchuk's appearance in that Speedo last year up there. At
that was meth-induced.
That was my choice,
sure.
Man.
What can I say? Leisure. Meth, PCP.
Hey, living the sober life.
We're live here at Jake's in Fort Worth, and Fan Phenom's coming up here in just 19 minutes. On the other side, we'll talk with Fred and Blake, see what is cooking here for Fan After Dark coming up next.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all got to stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. We're live at Jake's in Fort Worth, and Fan Phenom about to get underway. We got at least a dozen or more participants, a full dining room as well. We're going to have a party here as well. So whether you want to try out to be the next fan host or just come fellowship with Wolchuk and the guys, we're here at Jake's in Fort Worth for you. Okay. Tomorrow, of course, Cowboys pregame show at 6. Brian Chiafalo, Wolchuk will be at the stadium, and looking forward to coverage of that. Tune in tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock. But Fan After Dark coming up next, guys. How you been?
We feel good. Haven't talked to you guys in a good little minute. Back in the studio. It's nice and lonely. You guys aren't here. You're holding down the set at Jake's Burgers, but we're holding it down here at the studio.
What do you got planned for the show this evening?
We are jacked for today's show. It's a Thursday edition. Look, tomorrow's the last preseason game. So a lot of future PE teachers and bouncers playing tomorrow night. So we're excited about that. But who needs to solidify that 9th or 10th spot on the roster tomorrow night? We'll discuss that. Our boy Corey Chavis is going to join us at 8 o'clock, talking all things, friend of the program, talking all things NFL football as he is wont to do. And dare I say, as a newcomer to the DFW area and a casual Cowboy fan, I'm 3 episodes into the Gambler documentary, and I'm just going to say this: it is Last Dance level good.
Nice.
I have been, I mean, it's, and I'll put it to you like this, and we'll get more into it during the show, but you just kind of wish that Jerry would get out of his own way and hire another Jimmy Johnson. I mean, that's my takeaway through three episodes. Jerry's still the same swashbuckling guy, but he doesn't have his foil in Jimmy Johnson to tell guys that have asthma to get on the other field and have your asthma somewhere else.
It was a beautiful time, and you're right. Yeah, he needs a football genius in there. So, I mean, Jerry is maybe the best owner ever, you know, and he should take pride in that, having relationships with a guy like a Jimmy Johnson, you know, able to do everything that he did, and together they were unstoppable, Fred. So I'd say that's a good takeaway. So,
how about Daddy Jones, by the way, with the, hey, what happens when you miss that interest payment to Jimmy Hoffa and the Teamsters?
Incredible.
You may end up in a you know, with cement shoes on. So shout out to Daddy Jones, who apparently was pretty shrewd himself.
The Micah story getting super interesting today as well. Are you guys ready for like another 20 months of this, if this is how far it drags out? I mean, can we just stop talking about it? What's the strat there?
I'm not sure what the strat is, because we did the same thing last year with Dak and CD. Obviously, this is a little bit different, but we're used to Cowboys stars getting strung out. I think at this point, it looks like he's just going to play, and there's not going to be some brand new deal that comes in the next couple of days, because how many times do we see players negotiate in the middle of the season? We don't. So we've got probably the next week, and if it's not done by then, I guess this is – Micah's last year under his contract, and then we'll see what happens from there. But I'm with you, Gavin. Just let's play
just
ball.
Urinate on somebody's desk. That should get it taken care of.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the best way to do it,
right?
Hey, Blake, how should I go about this fan phenom deal?
Okay, so if I was in your shoes,
hard on them, or?
I would love to be there. I would say be hard on them, not to scare them away, but just kind of see what their response is, especially in the first 30 seconds. You know, throw them off their game, and if they're able to easily recover. Be adaptable, be a chameleon, and you know, maybe we're cooking with greasy. If they get
turn
a little frazzled, if they get a little frazzled, they start shying away, they get a little scared, and hey, still a great person, but maybe radio's not for you. So, Zach, I say, you know, they've gotten two weeks in a row of CA, Chiafalo, Lil Fred, so they've gotten some softballs, some nice guys up there. Nice guys up there. It's a compliment. It's a compliment.
Hey, you've gotten some softballs.
It's a compliment. It's a compliment. Wooly Bully.
So the guy who has no children.
Wooly Bully. Softballs. I need you to be a bully tonight. I need you to bring that bull, the horns tonight.
If you got what it like takes to go
toe-to-toe with the Wooly Bully, join us.
And bring
Jake's
it.
In Fort Worth on Maine. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup Master Control there. Just went about 2.5 flawless there following a Rangers defeat. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chiafalo here. And Brian Broaddus, of course, Ruben Portillo, remote engineering. All right, Fan After Dark is up next on air and here at Jake's in Fort Worth. The Fan Phenom, still time to come and sign up till tomorrow at 2. You're going home with the nation. At ease.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.